Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our next show, Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach, and author. My passion is mentoring authors, introverts, and advocates. And today we're going to be talking with someone who I am closely aligned with. Firstly, numbers to check in. North America listener, call in if you're in North America on 646-716-7979. And if you're outside North America, you can listen live at tobtr.com/9081933. And then just follow the links to pose your questions in the chat. Or you can message me on Facebook. Just send me a private message on Facebook with your question, and we'll answer those questions throughout the show. My guest speaker today is Kylie Ellis. Kylie is a publishing queen and self-publishing expert. Welcome, Kylie.
Thanks for having me here, Trish.
Oh, lovely to have you, and I look forward to speaking with you very soon and finding out all the gold information that you've got to share with us.
I'm happy to share.
That'll be great. And we'll be learning more then about why you should publish a book and the importance of marketing that book after you have published it. Firstly, let's have a look at today's frequently asked question. These are questions that people send me either on Facebook or message me, or clients have asked me, or they come when I'm talking to people at network meetings. And today's question often comes up. It's, how should I structure my speech? And now you would think it's very easy to structure a speech. You just get up and you speak about what you're going to say and you let all that information go out. Now you can do that. And sometimes you'll achieve what you want. However, if you put some structure into your speech, you're going to really ensure then that the message you want to share with your clients or with your audience will really be the message that they get. And one of the things you first have to remember, and I've spoke about this a few shows back, was you have to determine exactly what you want to achieve in your speech. If you are not very clear on the goal that you want to get from your presentation or the outcome that you want the people listening to your speech to take away, then it's very hard to structure it. That was one of the reasons I spoke about that a few shows ago, because it is a vital component that you need to get in and determine before you can do anything else in your presentations. So once you've got that, then you've got the foundation of working out how you're going to structure that presentation. Now, realistically, and I'll break it down to 10-minute blocks because that makes it easy for you to work out. Realistically, in any 10-minute speech, you can only give 3 main facts. Now, the reason I say this is if you give too much information in your presentation, your audience are going to forget most of it, and it could be the most vital piece that they're going to forget. So you want to make sure that you give them enough information that's going to convey and determine your outcome, but not overload them so that they will remember each piece of information that you give. So it works out that in a 10-minute speech, that's 3 main facts. Now you need to determine those. And some people say to me, well, how do I determine which 3 main facts? I've got a lot of information I want to share. Well, just think about the fact that if you were to go in to meet a CEO and you had 10 minutes to pitch him all about your business, and then when you turn up and the CEO says, I've got to be going away, and I've only got 1 minute, you then think about, well, what is the one important thing that I can tell that person in this minute? When you think about that, that becomes your first main fact. And you use that scenario to determine the other two main pieces of information that you're going to be sharing. Those three main facts become your body. That's the body of your speech. From that, you will then get your opening and your close. Now, that becomes the complete structure of any presentation, whether it's 1 minute, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour or more. You have an opening, a body, and conclusion. You do your opening first with the main facts that you want to present. You do your body first with the main facts that you want to present. Then you take from that body what you want to do with your opening. Now, your opening has two parts. It introduces people to what you're going to say. It's a bit of a teaser. And it grabs their attention. Wait, listen to me. So you would start with your opening with some important quotation, a fact, or a story. Go into your body and then your close. Now, your close has two parts as well. It is a bit of an idea of what you've just been speaking. So you give them a little, this is what I've just been saying. But the one of the most important parts of your close, which many people forget, is you need to have a call for action. What do you want your audience to do with what you've just been speaking to them about in the last 1 minute, 10 minutes, 30 minutes or an hour? So people, that's the basis of how you structure a speech. Now, there's a lot more to it, but that gives you the basic parts, and the rest we can maybe go into with other questions that people ask me as we go into other shows. So don't forget, I'll be sharing tips, techniques, and strategies each show. If there is something you would like particularly answered, email on info@trishel.com.au and then tune into the next show to hear your answer, or you can send me a private message on Facebook. Now, this is my great pleasure to meet our guest, Kylie Ellis, publishing queen and self-publishing expert. I'm just going to share a little bit with you about what Kylie does and how she's been doing it and what she's been doing. 10 years ago, Kylie opened a graphic design studio where the majority of their work was in publishing. As a result, a few years later, Kylie rebranded as a publishing house where she became known as the Publishing Queen, as she not only published books, but more importantly, educated people on how to self-publish. Now married and a mother of two with 10 years industry experience, Kylie turns her focus to sharing her marketing expertise with those in the small business sector, as publishing a book is only one part of a much bigger marketing picture. As the new and improved business card, the book allows you to get instant credibility as the expert in your field, while attracting your ideal client time and time again. But this on its own is no longer enough, which is why Kylie is excited as she's moved into the marketing arena. Kylie looks forward to sharing the new and constantly changing cutting-edge marketing techniques with those wanting to move from a physical business or a 9-to-5 job to a virtual one so they can experience the joys of a fully automated business. And wouldn't we all like to have that? Her two newest books, Automated Marketing and Virtual Business, form the foundations of everything that she teaches well into the future, including the fully automated sales and fulfillment process with multi-level sales letter and the database you get paid to build. So with that credibility there and all that information, I am looking forward to speaking with Kylie today. Hi, Kylie.
Hi, how are you? I'm looking forward to it too. I'm pumped.
Okay. We've got a lot to get through. I think you have so much valuable information to share with us. Not only just how to self-publish, but I think from my perspective, how to use that book to market yourself and to take your business where you want it to go. So I guess maybe we should share a little bit about how to publish a book to profile you as the expert in your field. What do you think we need to be doing to start with that first step?
It's a very good question, and it is a first step, but the question in itself kind of has a couple of levels there, because back in the day, people used to come to me and they'd tell me their book idea, but they weren't necessarily confident in getting it out of them. And I used to say to them, well, that's okay. Everyone's got a book in them, and it's up to you whether you bring it out or not. The fact of the matter is, these days, that's not the case. See, if you're in business, your competition is already releasing books. So if you're not, you're a step behind your competition. So you don't have a choice anymore. You must, if you want to be successful in business, publish a book to profile you as the expert in your field. But here's the thing. If you do so and your competition is already doing so, well, now you've only done what they've already done. So you're still a step behind them. So you don't only have to bring a book out, but you have to do it in a way that is different, that stands out from your competition. And that's when I talk about things like leveraging the content of your book, because the book itself is just not enough anymore.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And that's probably where a lot of people stumble, because they have heard, and we hear it, you know, you've got to get your book published, you've got to do a book. It becomes, you know, you need that book for your credibility. So what happens is a lot of people go off and do that book, just like you've been saying, and then they come to that, you know, stumbling block. Well, I've done the book. Why isn't it working for me? So what do they have to do next, Kylie?
Well, see, that's a really interesting point, because the book is the new and improved business card. So what they're saying when they say that is, like, I've just opened a business and I've printed my business cards. Why aren't I getting any business? Now, the book is the new and improved business card because you can fit a lot more content in it. You've got a lot more space for call to actions for your target market, things like that. But it's still a business card. It's the start of a very powerful marketing process. So if you think you're going to publish your book and then it's just all going to happen for you, think again. Refer to back in the day, again, before I moved into the marketing space, people were literally printing books. This is before the print-on-demand days. They were printing them and shipping them in from offshore, and they were buying them in bulk to get good individual prices. But what they were literally doing was filling their garages, whether it be at the office or at home, with boxes and boxes of unopened books, and then wondering why they didn't sell. And at that period in time, I was actually working with two very different kinds of clients. I had lots of clients, but they all fitted in one category or the other. There was no gray. I had the kind of clients that literally filled their garages and never sold one book. And the books were beautifully published, but they never sold one copy, and they couldn't work out what they were doing wrong. And then I had the under kinds of clients that were literally bringing in six figures per annum from book sales alone and couldn't reorder fast enough. And there was no one in the middle. They were one or the other. And the only difference was those who marketed their books and those who didn't. And that's why I went into the marketing arena. Because just publishing that book, as I said, everyone else is doing it. You're now a step behind. You've got the new and improved business card, so that's great. But if you don't get that business card out to people, like traditionally you go to networking meetings, hand out your business card, something like that, how are you handing out your book? And don't necessarily think traditional. You don't have to physically go to meetings if you don't want to. You can do it virtually these days. But if you're not getting your book out there, it's not working for you.
I couldn't agree more. I have a lot of clients myself who get to that point and have that, you know, well, how do I get it out there? And there are several ways. Some of the things that I teach people is about speaking about it. One of the things that you do, you're going to share with us now, aren't you, how to get that book out there and leverage it to the best of their ability. So what would you suggest some of the things that they could do?
Well, the first step is that when it comes to leverage, you need to think about what can you do with your book. If you want to get it out there these days, as I said, everyone's publishing a book. So what can you do with the book? Let's say the book is a $30 book. Everyone's publishing a book, so maybe not everyone's going to buy book after book for a $30 price point. But how could you turn your book into, let's say, a $300 book at a north? That's leverage. Now, who's going to pay $300 for your book? I'm going to say probably no one in a traditional method. It's just not the price point we put on a book. But if you leverage the content of that book into an online course, for example, and I can go through in a moment more detail how to do this, but let's assume you've done that. You've now got a published book and you've launched a course online. You've now got two products. Now, the book might be worth around $30, but the course is worth at least $300 because they're getting a whole lot more. For each chapter, for example, they're getting a whole module. For each subheading in that book, they're getting a whole video. Each of these videos has downloadable resources so they can apply what they've learned straight away. They're not just reading about how great you are and wanting to work with you. They're actually experiencing you. And if it's a good online course, there's an accountability component included. And that means they're actually getting you to help them when something goes wrong. They're getting direct access to you, and that they'll pay the extra naught for. But not only that, the average book, let's say $30, well, maybe someone's not paying $300 up front. Maybe they're only paying $30 a week for 10 weeks. But now you've taken that average sale of $30 into a subscription payment, so you're now getting paid on an ongoing basis or 10 times the amount to still market your business and build your profile. It's a little bit different to the traditional, I'm going to pay to publish a book. Now you're getting paid to do your marketing in two different ways.
And that is the power of it. Just imagine, I mean, and we're not talking one. When we start to do that and you get this online done, you can then rinse and repeat over and over again. You can just continue. And people will be getting new people in.
Exactly. The great thing about a book or a course, particularly if marketed that way, if they're put online like the course, and you know you want to sell your book for $300, make it a bonus with the course. Everyone that buys the course gets a free book. Now they're paying $300 for your book. There's a trip for you. But once that's done, once that process is set up, and obviously I can go through more detail how to do that, once you've fully automated that course so someone can literally rock up, go into your database, go through your sales sequence, purchase the course, receive the course, and you don't have to do anything in the marketing, sales, or fulfillment stages, that has fully automated both the marketing, sales, and fulfillment, or in this case, distribution, of your course and your book. So you're not doing anything to create that money. That's literally a passive income, or I should say other than, of course, lead gen and actually sending traffic to what's otherwise fully automated, which means you've got all this time up your sleeve. So a lot of people do that. They go and bring out book two or book three, and if they're smart, course two and course three to go with it, because they've got all this time, they've got this passive income, and who said you had to be limited to one lot of passive income? So it's actually a very clever strategy.
And I like it very much because the reason I like it, and one of the reasons why I was attracted to speaking with you, and we've done a few little joint projects together, was because of the fact that you can rinse and repeat it. And not only that, it encourages you to not just stop at one book. Because if you think about it, maybe if your competitors, they may have stopped at one book. When you start doing the online and realized how easy it is to link that together and what happens from that, and you go on to two and three, then you are now getting ahead of your competitors.
Exactly.
Exactly. Now, we've just been sort of speaking about this, and we've got, you know, we've sort of said this in about 10 minutes, and we're very excited about it. And I know the listeners are out there saying, wow, that's exciting. And then they're sort of thinking, oh, it sounds extremely complicated. How can I do that? What's the first things that I need to do? So have you got a couple of tips that you can share, Kylie, so that we could sort of ease back
simplify
from letting them think it's too much? Yeah, simplify.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll give you a couple of tips of how to do this quickly and easily in the most simplified way possible. First thing you want to do, and I'm going to show you how to do this before you've even created anything. So I'm going to show you how to take a book that's not written yet and take a course that's not filmed yet and actually begin marketing them today and getting these results, getting paid to build your profile, getting paid to market your business. And of course, once you're getting the passive income coming in, then you can spend that money or keep that money to cover your time, I should say, when you actually then spend time writing the book and creating the course because you've been paid up front for it. It's like getting paid to do your market research. So here's the steps involved. Because you haven't written the book yet, you need to plan it first. So the best way to plan your book is to write your table of contents. Now, do I have about 5 minutes now, Trish, to give an example just on that, or do you want a more loose outline? Okay, cool.
No, you can
so let's
do that.
Start with that. So step one, let's plan our book's table of contents, because once we've planned that, we can use everything in that to automate the whole marketing process. So I'm going to give an example. Trish, do you want to play along with me, or do you want me to give a hypothetical example?
Oh, I don't mind playing along with you. We can do that.
Okay, so Trish is going to represent you guys writing your book. She's going to pick a subject, and you can be literal, Trish. Pick speaking if you want. But tell me what subject you picked, the subject you want to write your book on.
Let's talk about A to Z of public speaking.
Okay, A to Z of public speaking. Great. That sounds almost like a title to me, although it's probably going to need a little bit of tweaking. But the topic there is clearly public speaking. So let's focus on the topic of public speaking. So what I want you to do, Trish, if at all possible, is pull out a pen and paper. If it's easier for you to type on the computer, so long as it doesn't interrupt anything else we're doing, feel free to do that. But what I want you to do, and for those listening in, whether you're listening now live or to the replay, I want you guys to do this as well, because this example is really valuable. But what I want you to do is I want you to write down in bullet point format everything that comes to mind when you think of that topic. So think of it like you're having a conversation with someone. So two key bullet points. The first is going to be the first thing you would say to someone having that conversation. So I know the A to Z's there, so I know you've got the first and the last in mind, but just think about the topic of public speaking. What's the first thing you would say to them? And you can let us know now what it would be and write it down and put a bullet point next to it and put a number one, because that's where you're going to start.
Oh, usually it's the fear. Yep, how to overcome the fear of speaking.
Brilliant. Fear is a great place to start with public speaking. That makes perfect sense. Now, I will get you to write down some other bullet points, but right now I want to focus on the last one. So I did say put a one at the start, and we'll come back to that, but we better put an L on last because we don't know what number it's going to be yet. So I want you to jump to the end of the conversation. Well, you can put a Z, actually, because yours is A to Z. So you could have 26 items here if you get where I'm going. That could be quite clever.
Yeah.
So maybe you can put a Z. Everyone else can put an L for last. What's the last thing you'd leave them with when you left this conversation if they're never going to speak to anyone again about it and you may never speak to them again about this topic? What's the last thing you'd leave them with?
The last thing I'd leave would be the confidence that they've gained from speaking and how to go forward to market that into their business.
Brilliant. So I'm actually going to say A and Z for you, given your topic, but you guys can number this or letter this, whatever you want. But you've got your A and you've got your Z. Now, what I want you to do, and I'll either leave a bit of time for you to do it or we'll just use it as an example and we won't finish the exercise, is I want you to jot down all the bullet points in between. So what comes after that first point? And what are the bullet points needed until that last point? Now, I don't know how many bullet points you're going to have. Do you want a little bit of time to do that, Trish, and I can talk about something else, or do you want me to just go on as an example and they can finish it later?
Yep, just go on as an example. I think they're getting got the idea from that.
You guys getting the idea? That's excellent. So imagine Trish is writing this list. In her case, she might be writing another 24 items because there's 26 letters in the alphabet. That'd be cool. But for the average person, it generally means to be about 8 to 12, just so you know the kind of numbers you're looking for. She's going to finish that list. She's going to look at it. And what she's looking for is the logical flow. She's looking for how to get from that first point, which could be one or A in this case, where would she go next? And she's going to put a two next to that. Then where would she go from there? She's going to put a three, so on and so forth, until she gets to that last point, whether you've numbered it L or Z or whatever, she's going to put the next number next to that. Now, in Trisha's case, that might end up to be 26, but as I said, on the average book, you guys will end up having 8 to 12. So once you've got all those numbered, you'll find one of three things happened in the process. Either you got to the end quickly and easily. If that's the case, fantastic, you're finished. I'll tell you what you've done in a moment. But more often than not, you'll find one of two other things will happen. You'll get partway through the process and you just won't know where to go next. If that happens, that's okay. When you were doing your brain dump or your bullet points, you forgot something. So just add the logical bullet point, give it the next number and keep going. But what can also happen is you can get to the end and there's items on your list that you haven't numbered. If that's the case, they don't fit with the flow of this book, just cross them out and they're not relevant for this book. They might be for another book down the line. What you've now got in front of you, whichever way you did it, is your table of contents. And that exercise took me probably about 5 minutes to explain. It takes you about the same to do. It's really quick and easy. And once you've got that, you've done step one. How are you going to publish a book to profile you as the expert in your field if you haven't planned the book out? How are you going to leverage that into a course if you haven't planned it out? You've done it. You've done step one. But here's the real secret to answer Trisha's question. That's why I wanted to give you a bit of detail there. What's step two? Two is if you're going to leverage it into a course, you need to also plan out the course. Now, you need to plan out the course in as much detail, but you also want to do it just as quick. So I don't want you to spend any more than 5 minutes on this exercise either, but it's really, really simple. What you do is you take each of those chapters, and that's a module in the course. So if you have, let's say, 12 chapters in your book, then you have a 12-module course. You might want to deliver that as a weekly module. You might want to deliver that and they log in, they can access any 12 at any time. That's entirely up to you. But how many chapters is how many modules? But what goes within that module? Well, you need to know, for example, how many videos, how many training videos are you going to have in that module to teach the content you've written in your book? even though you haven't written it yet. See, if you'd already written your book, I'd say this is quick and easy. What we'll do is we'll go to your book and we'll look at the subheadings in the chapter. And if you've got, let's say, three subheadings, because the subheadings normally break the content up into key thoughts, then you know that you've got three videos. And then you film a video on each of those three thoughts. If you haven't done this yet, all you need to do is make a tiny little mini table of contents for each chapter. In other words, do the exact same thing. Based on this subtopic, where would you start the conversation? Where would you end it? What's the logical flow in between? Quickly write those bullet points, and now you haven't only planned your book, you've planned your course. In other words, you've actually leveraged your book already into your online course. What you haven't done is filmed it. From there, to go to the next step, and I know we'll talk more about this later, but the next step is marketing both of them. It's really easy because now you've got the content. You can tell someone exactly what they're getting, which means you can market it. And once you've told them, once you've marketed it, when you go to create it, you know exactly what you're creating, because if you've already told them what they're buying, you better put that into what you're creating. So it really is quite simple and easy. Hopefully that was helpful in answering your question, Trish.
No, I think that's very valuable, because what that's given people is an idea that they can actually get started. One of the things that stops us from getting started is the being overwhelmed and not knowing where to go. And that stops us, and we procrastinate, and we don't get our book written, we don't know what to do, and we flounder and we go down into a downward spiral. So what you've done for us, Kylie, in about 5-10 minutes is a really valuable exercise on getting ourselves out of that downward spiral and actually taking that first step to achieve what we've probably been talking about for months, maybe even years for some people. You know, how you often hear them say, oh, I'm going to write a book. Oh, yes, I know I have to do this book. And it never happens because they don't know where to do. They don't know how to take
because
that
first
step.
Because we all get in our own way. And to be perfectly honest with you, you could do those two examples I've just done and have everything planned out and still get in your own way. You could go,
absolutely.
Oh, now I know exactly what I'm doing, but I'm still not sure where to start. So here's a bonus tip for you. If you want to take that table of contents and turn it into a book, what's the quickest way to do this? Here's the 5-step process you need to do. Write the book, get the cover designed, edit the book, get the interior designed, and proofread the book. From there, you don't even need to worry about printing or anything like that, because printing can now be handled print on demand through bookstore distribution. Marketing, as I said, we'll come to talk about that in a moment, but that's handled through online distribution. If you just do those 5 steps, your book is ready to go. With your course, do different steps. Step 1 is film the videos. Step 2 is create the resources to go with the videos. And step 3 is to think about what kind of accountability you're going to give, for example, a Facebook support group or something like that. If you can get those 3 things done, then all it is a matter of going on to the next step, which is very similar to bookstores, online distribution, and that is setting up the fully automated marketing that I already spoke about of that product as well. So 5 steps for the book, 3 steps for the course, and then you can get stuck into marketing and distribution of both.
Excellent. And that is a really good place for us to pause just for a moment. And when we come back, we're going to talk, I think, about marketing and distribution. So just a reminder to people, I've been speaking with Kylie Ellis, and Kylie is our publishing queen and self-publishing expert. We've been having a really great discussion on how to actually get started with our books. Now, if you've been listening, if you're in North America and you've got a question on what we've been discussing, please call in on 646-716-7979. And if you're outside of North America and you've been listening and you've got some questions, you will have called in on tobtr.com/908-1933. And if you've done that, just follow the links to pose your question in the chat box. Or, of course, you can send me a PM and on Facebook, and I will pass your question on to Kylie. So, Kylie, we have given some people who have been listening, either now or at the replay, I think some extremely valuable information on getting started with their books. And not only getting started with planning their book, but also you've given them that bonus tip on how to get that book written and also to get the online so that they can leverage the book into an area that maybe their competitors haven't thought about. So I think for the next part, let's have a look at, okay, let's say we've got this book, we've written it, we've planned it, we've planned out our online course. What's the next steps that we need to do?
The next step is to market them. And I love that you've said planned out, because you don't have to produce them yet. I was just giving you before the steps of how to do that when you're at that stage. But I heavily suggest you actually market them before you produce them. But if you do want to produce them first, as some people do, then it's still the same steps, whichever point you do it in. So to explain marketing, or more fully automated marketing, to you, the best way is to think of it in three areas. So I mentioned them briefly before. There's the marketing stage, there's the sales stage, and there's the fulfillment stage. Now, I know we said automate your marketing, but if you don't automate the sales and the fulfillment as well, you've still got to manually do stuff. So it's important to think about all those three steps. But when it comes to your book or your course, there's a way we can look at those three things when it comes to building fully automated funnels. And people normally call these sales funnels, but I don't. I call them marketing, sales, and fulfillment funnels, because you really want funnels for each step. You don't just want to automate the sales and then have to manually do the other steps. So when it comes to something like your book, for example, let's focus on sales first. What is your sales? Well, that is a package. What package are you going to sell? Now, a package is not a single book. If you've got a $30 book, no one wants to jump online and pay $30 for your book. That's not a package. That's not going to sell. But a package might be, for example, they get your printed book and your ebook. So now they're getting more than the $30. And maybe it's discounted as well. So maybe the $30 book is on sale for $20, for example, and they get an ebook as a bonus. So now they've got two incentives to purchase. That's a package. What you also need is what goes before that package. So if it's before the sale, it's the marketing. So how are you going to market this package? Well, you're actually not going to, because this package is going to be marketed for you. Do a series of pre-programmed autoresponders leading to a series of landing pages so that you don't have to do anything. But how do you get people to receive that series? Well, they need to sign up for something. In other words, if the sales is the package, then the marketing is the list building or the database building exercise. So you need to give away a free sample. So in the case of the book, if you package it all together, the sample might be a sample chapter. Some people like to actually use the ebook as the sample and then sell the book as a special price with a special offer. And it might not be with the ebook in it. It might have something else built in. However you do it, that first step, and I did say it second, but it's the first step, is preview. That's your marketing. You need to give them a preview in the marketing stage. In the sales stage, you need to give them a package, something to purchase, a sale. But after that, when we move on to the fulfillment isn't literally just sending them the book in this case and letting them read it. The fulfillment is your fulfillment too. What are they going to do after they've read this book, after they love this book? Well, hopefully promote you. They don't just want to work with you, but they're going to tell everyone about this great book they've been reading. So why not have in that stage a promote funnel? In other words, if they've liked your book, why don't they become an affiliate of it? Now, they're getting paid basically to promote your book for you. They don't get paid unless they sell something, but you're giving away basically a small percentage of a profit you otherwise wouldn't have had in order to let someone else market your business for you. But what they're actually doing, those promotes, they're actually driving traffic back into your otherwise fully automated business. Really, really cool. And of course, I just used the example of your book, but what can you do for your course? Exactly the same thing. The preview for the course is going to be a little bit different. For example, I recommend something referred to as a sideways sales letter, and I'm happy to talk about that in more detail later, Trish, if you'd like me to. For the actual processing of the sales, though, the package is a bit different. As I said, you've got to tell them about all the modules they're getting and all the resources they're getting and the accountability they're getting, your hand-holding. And the promote is very similar. It's still an affiliate program, but let's say the affiliate program was 20%. 20% of a $30 book is $6, but 20% of a $300 course is $60. These affiliates might be more inclined to do more work for you if they're making more money out of it. So that's kind of a snapshot of the first step, getting these funnels set up and underway.
Great. Something that you just mentioned was affiliates. Now, I don't know how many people really know what an affiliate is and how it works. You've given a bit of an idea that it's getting people to promote your book for you and then giving them a little bit of a kickback on doing that. Would you like to go a little bit more into how could you set that up or what the benefits are?
I might do the benefits first so people understand it, and then I'll tell them how to set it up.
Yep.
So what an affiliate program is, as I already said, it's basically you paying someone to do your marketing for you, but only when they convert. Or, as I said, giving away a small percentage of a profit you otherwise wouldn't have had. How it works, though, is someone signs up to be an affiliate of yours, which means practically you need to have a sign-up page with a video where you tell them how great it is to be an affiliate of yours and what the percentage is you're offering them, and to fill in the form below the video in order to become an affiliate. What happens when they fill out that form is they get, once again, an autoresponder preset, sometimes more than one, and part of it, so if you do two separate ones, will say, welcome to my affiliate program, and give them the details about what you want them to do. But the other part will send them a fully automated URL. In other words, they take that URL, and what they do with that is up to them. They can put it on their website. They can share it in a newsletter. They can put it on social media. They can share it with friends, family, colleagues. Whatever they do with it is up to them. You have no idea what they're doing. But every time someone clicks that link and comes through to your web store, online portal, sales funnels, however you're setting this up, the back end of the system automatically tracks everything for you so you don't have to. So it tells you whom clicked the link that whoever owned. It tells you what pages they went to. It tells you what they purchased. All of this stuff that you might not really care about, except for it also tells you at the end of the month or quarter or whenever you've decided to pay it, how much you owe to whom. Now, this is the scary part for a lot of people. They go, I don't want to owe people money. But if it tells you at the end of the month that you owe person A, for example, let's say $300, if you owe them $300 and that was 20%, that means for that $300, you actually made $1,500. Now, if you made $1,500 by doing nothing, would you be happy to pay someone $300 of it? That's how affiliate programs work. They're very powerful things.
I bet. I can't see anybody who wouldn't be too happy about that. Now, the setting up of an affiliate program, that's probably a little bit technical. And who would you suggest, getting some of your IT people, or is it something that you can do yourself?
Definitely get some IT people involved. It is something I help people with, but I help people specifically with it in the structure like I just mentioned, so that it's part of a fully automated sales and marketing funnel. If you just wanted a simple affiliate program on your website or something like that, yes, talk to the professionals, because I'm sure you could go to WordPress or something like that these days and stick a plugin in, an affiliate in the name, and think it's working. But the thing about fully automating your marketing is if it's got any glitches whatsoever, it's not fully automated. As soon as something goes wrong, the whole brilliant automated system falls apart and crashes. So unless you're the expert in affiliate programs, which if you're listening to this information, you're probably not, pay the professionals to do it. Because once it's set up, it's a once-off cost to you, and then it will work passively for you thereafter, making you a passive income. So it's really important that you do it right the first time, otherwise it's not going to work for you.
Absolutely, I can agree. But those people out there now thinking, oh, she said I have to pay for this affiliate program, I would refer you back to what Kylie also mentioned was, well, just think about the benefits that are coming in with you not doing anything. Yes, you may have to put a little bit of money out with some IT professionals to get it set up. It is a one-off cost. Then think about the people out there who are promoting your program or your online course, or we could even take it further. It could be even products that you've got if you're into the product side. People who are doing all of that, they're doing it for you while you're doing other things and you're reaping the benefit.
Exactly. It is a cost. It's not necessarily expensive, but there's a cost. If you're paying someone to do it, it's going to cost you something. But I don't really see it as a cost. I see it the other way around. If you don't pay someone to do it, if you try to do it yourself and you cause all these problems and you've got to get someone to come in and fix it, first of all, that's going to cost you a lot more. But more importantly, if you don't do it, while it's not going to cost you anything financially, it is in all the lost sales, because while you don't have automation like this, you're manually doing things, so it's costing you your time. If you're not manually doing things, if you're paying a VA or a PA or someone to do them for you, it is costing you money. And whatever you automate, when you pay someone like this, it's an hourly rate you're paying them to do the things you don't want to. But once you automate it, it's a once-off setup fee you're paying so that you never have to do them again. Nobody ever has to do them again, and therefore you never have to pay anyone to do them again. And that's how you need to think about it.
And that is the power of automation, and why Kylie's so excited about automating your online course and your book because of that power. And when do you suggest then that we've been talking about this marketing, we're talking about getting your doing this. Now, you were talking about doing this before you even written your book. Do you want to go a little bit further of how, because I can hear people saying, oh, you know, you've got me setting up an automated power. People are buying. What are they buying if I haven't actually already written my book? Where does that come into that step? When do I have to produce that?
Yep. Good question. It's called pre-sales, and I guess what they're buying is goodwill, but you've also got a certain amount of time to fulfill on it. So with your book, the standard pre-sales period is 3 months. So if you start pre-selling something, people are expecting to receive it in 3 months. If someone happens to buy on the last day of the third month, they're just going to get it earlier than the person that bought on the first day of the first month. But a three-month window is the general standard expectation for a book. With a course, it's not the same. With a course, when you're pre-selling, you're really just selling it a week ahead of schedule. So if you've got a 12-week course, people expect that when they pay for it, they're going to get access to week one straight away. And that's why when I talk about setting up and fully automating it, one of the things I do, for example, I run weekend retreats where I help people get this all done in 48 hours because people like to express the process. And one of the things I do is I make sure people have got that first week set up before they leave. Because that way, when someone buys, they do get instant access. They're not waiting for something. But that first week doesn't have to be the first week's module. Because when it comes to actually marketing a course, as I said, and I mentioned it before, the term sideways sales letter, I'll elaborate on it a bit more now. What a sideways sales letter is selling something to people over a period of time. So it's not coming to a standard sales page where they can read all the stuff or jump to the bottom and buy now. They actually have to wait to buy, and it builds up the suspense. And how the sideways sales letter works is it generally works over a two-week period. So in the first week, you deliver a lot of really, really good content. You don't even give them the opportunity to buy until the second week. And in the second week, you might give them a couple of options of how to buy, for example, full price or time payments, things like that. So you've actually got a two-week window. So if you create the content, that really good content for that first week, that means that that can be out there building your database, getting people ready to buy while you spend that week creating the first week's module. Once you've got that module done, you, of course, upload it. Now people are able to purchase. This will also be set up in the fully automated marketing stage. And when they purchase, they get access to that first week. What did they do that week? Well, they watch your content. They download your resources. They start applying it. What do? You film and create week two. So long as you're 1 week ahead of them, you can actually be getting paid up front. And it's a 12-week course. You will finish creating the course 11 weeks in. And you've been paid that whole time, and thereafter it's pure profit because the work's already done.
Sounds very busy, but yeah, you are busy. You are busy for 12 weeks because you are getting
that promoted. You do have to do some work in the setup stage. I love the expression, you know, stuff handed to people on a silver platter. There's no such thing. Yes. But if you do the work in the setup phase, so you do have to do some work, thereafter that silver platter's full for life. So it's that you can't have the silver platter. It's not that you can't have it all. It's that you can't have it if you're lazy. You have to do the work initially, and then you can sit back and enjoy the rewards of your efforts.
And this is what one of my favourite words comes in, commitment. Commitment.
Yes.
And then perseverance, because people often will have commitment and they will get started and then things start to get a little bit on top of them. Now, if you commit to something like this, it's actually holding you accountable because you've actually sold something to people. And this is, you know, it sounds scary, but it's also a brilliant way to completely finish your course and get it up, because the commitment is you've sold something, then the accountability
now you have to do it.
You've got to do it. And it keeps you going and going because you can't, you know, just think about the credibility issues. If you suddenly, you know, you've sold them this course and you stop halfway through and you don't finish it, wow, you're in a big, big, big problem. So this is a very major way of giving you commitment and accountability to actually finish. And
totally.
I like that.
There's no better way to keep yourself accountable for anything than pre-selling it. Because once you've got that first sale, even if it's only one sale, you've got to fulfill. And it makes a big difference to your speed and turnaround on things.
And then the outcome, of course, is that even though it's pretty scary, but it's kept you to it, when you look back at the end, you've suddenly got something that's automated, and the next time you sell it, you don't have to do anything. You've already done
it. Exactly. And that's why I said some people don't like to do it that way, as much as it's what I teach and recommend because it's the best way to do it. Some people don't want to do that. They feel they have to create the whole course first. And if that's okay, you can do that. Just know that you're still doing the same thing. You're fully automating your marketing. You're just doing it after you've done the work instead of before. One way generates cash flow. The other, I guess, reduces stress. But if you use the cash flow generating method, you are kept accountable and you get it done. If you use the reducing stress method, you can still be talking about it in 2 months, 3 months, 5 years, 10 years' time, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, however, there is another benefit to that because a lot of our listeners may actually already have those books sitting in boxes that we've been talking about and sitting on shelves.
Exactly.
These books, even if you have written this book, look, 2 years ago, a year ago, last month, or even 3 years ago, now you've got an idea of how you can take that book and leverage it and polish it off and relaunch it, basically, by taking on some of those steps. You've already got the first step there, the basis. All you've got to do is take what Kylie's told you about the online and turn your book into the online course. You're halfway there.
Exactly.
So that's our third option.
Some people are actually the other way around. Some people have actually created a course they don't know how to sell. Well, hey, if you don't have a book behind it, that's a good idea to go that way too.
Yeah, it's a mutual benefit. So we've actually given you like four really good concepts here that we've been talking about. We've talked about how you can plan your book, plan your online course, and then get it automated and get the marketing up there and pre-sell it so that keeps you accountable. You've got some money coming in and you've got 3 months to write your book and you've got your online course being written every week, so that gives you accountability and commitment. We've also then talked about how you can still do this if you've already got your book and it's been lying around and not been doing anything for you. Well, now you know how you can leverage that book into the online course. And then we've got those people who I'm sure are listening who've got online courses. Now they know that they can actually take those online courses because they've got the framework of the book. And even I'll throw in another one there that we haven't been talking about. We've got people who do live workshops and trainings. And they
You've
can
got
leverage
the idea.
That. Yeah, they can take the live workshops and the trainings and turn those not only into a book, but into an online course. And you've got
and
a game.
It works both ways.
It works both ways. If you've got an online course and you want to dip your toe into some live workshops, you can take your online course and make a live workshop. So it's all about leveraging. It's all about thinking outside the box and doing things now rather than letting them all sit there and wondering what happened to them. So that's
brilliant.
Well,
I love what you said, though. It is thinking outside the book because the book's not enough anymore. It's all the other things you can leverage it with. So I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's thinking outside the book and the box. I like that. That's probably because it's one of my passions is mentoring authors to be able to get up and turn their books into keynote presentations, which is thinking outside the book, which is probably why that came out, because that's part of my thing.
No, but it's cool. Well, I love it. It's powerful.
Outside the book. Okay. Before we go, I've got a few minutes left. I just want to ask you a couple of things, maybe just a little bit off that topic, because I think there's a lot more to what you've been discussing, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to share with people where they can come and see you with that lot more. I'd just like to ask you a couple of questions. Who has been an inspiration for you?
Good question. Who has been my biggest inspiration? I've twisted it slightly because I've had a lot of different people that have inspired me. And you know what? At the top, who's been my biggest inspiration? So I'm going to go back to your original question. So many different people have inspired me in so many different ways. I'm not one of those people that goes around name dropping. Like, I know a lot of people first start up business, they go to all these great workshops and they go, you have to go see such and such and such and such and such and such. And I don't believe that, because I believe that everyone brings value, but at the same time, everyone's human. And sometimes these people have like this God mentality around a certain name. And I think that's really unrealistic. But what I do and what I've done over the years is that I go and I appreciate everyone for their value. I would go to a workshop or a seminar back in the day. Now I'm more run the workshops and seminars in digital formats. But I would go there and I would absorb stuff from that person. And I would take it. And here's the secret. And this is why I don't normally name names, and you did stun me on the question. I take what they've taught me as good as it is and I tweak it, because they've taught what works for them, and we're all different. So I tweak it to make it work for me. In other words, I add the publishing and marketing edge to it. And when I share this information with my customers, I teach them to do the same. Because if I've shown them specifically what works for publishing and marketing, when I take, let's say, the 100 different people that have inspired me over the last 10 years, because it's about 100 different people's resources I've drawn on to become who I am today, and that's why I'm not going to list all the names. I've created this new resource and this new name, and my name's the Publishing and Marketing Queen, but I don't want you going out there, you know, having me in a godlike stance either. And I say that to people when they come to work with me. I say, this is what I've done. You need to do the same. Take the stuff from my webinar. Take the stuff from the personal coaching we've done together. Take the stuff I've shared with you at our weekend retreat and make it your own. Because just because it's specific for publishing and marketing, you've got your specific topic as well. You need to tweak for that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's one of the things that I say to people, because they come to me and they say, I want to be a speaker just like that person. And I say, no, you don't, because you can't speak like them. What you do is you take all the information I give you, you tweak it and own it, and you become the speaker that you need to be. And it's the same
Brilliant.
Thing. We all learn from everybody. We can't be the same. And you've just hit it on the nail. You take what you've learned and you tweak it and you add your own twist to it, and then you do what you do. Last question for you, and say very briefly in a couple of words, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
A great speaker is someone who knows their stuff. Lots of people think speaking is important, for example, if you don't go and say and ah, and to a degree, yes, right? Like, it looks really unprofessional if that's every second word, but a brilliant speaker occasionally might say or ah, and no one's going to hold that against them. But if you know your stuff, for example, if your PowerPoint presentation stops working and you can keep talking, and I have personally done this, I was in a venue once and we actually lost power for an hour and I continued to present in the dark from memory. If you can do that, if you can show you know your stuff, people have been upset they were sitting in the dark, but we didn't just lose PowerPoint, we lost power. Like, it was pretty bad. The backup generator didn't turn. That was an absolute disaster. But I was really proud of myself that day because I proved I could do it and I knew my stuff. And if you know your stuff, and I'm not talking about confidence, because confidence is gained the more you speak, but if you know your stuff, even if it's your very first speaking engagement, even if you're nervous as, if you know your stuff, that's what makes a good speaker.
Absolutely. And agree. And well done. That's probably one of the worst things that could happen to you, is to lose power, lose your PowerPoint.
For an hour and a 2-hour
presentation.
Yep.
Oh, brilliantly done. When you've done that, probably nothing else really holds, you know, you can do anything, because that was probably one of the worst things that could happen. It gives you a good foundation. Kylie, very shortly, quickly, where can people get hold of you? Do you have something that you'd like to share with them where they can go and find out more about what they can do to work with you?
Yep. The best place to get more information, because we have gone through a lot in a lot of detail right now, but if you want to get a bit more detail about the specifics of your situation, how this all goes together in the big publishing and marketing picture, I have a free webinar I'd like to offer you guys. And as far as how to work with me more closely, there is details about that at the end of the webinar. I'll be perfectly transparent here. As I said, I run webinars, so I'm going to give that webinar to you absolutely free, but I also do personalized coaching and I run group weekend retreats for small numbers, where we basically do everything I've spoken about here and a whole lot more in one weekend. So you can literally come, you know, with just those table of contents, nothing else, and leave with everything fully automated and go away and do your book and do your course. Or you can come with the book and course completely done, come in, leave with it fully automated and get sales with no homework. People do it different ways. But jump onto this webinar. I'll give you a web address, because the free content's there. And if you'd like to work with me, there's more details about that as well. So it's thepublishingandmarketingqueen.com/webinars, plural with an S. Type that in and it'll give you direct latest webinar, and that should answer all your questions and more. I talk quite fast, as you've noticed, so there will be a lot of content in here, but if you miss some, play the replay and just pause it, make sure you get all the gold out of it. But that is my best stuff, and I'm going to give that to you guys right now.
Absolutely fabulous. So that's the publishing and marketing queen
.com/webinars.
Great. Got that. So you can hear that on the replay. I've been delighted to have you with us here today, Kylie, sharing some brilliant information on how to get your book up, how to pre-sell, how to automate your marketing, and how to do it onto an online course. I really appreciate your being with us. Thank you so much for giving up your time, Kylie.
You are most welcome. I've loved being here.
Right. Now, just to finish off our session today is my usual quote for the day. And that quote is actually very much similar to what we've been talking about. And it's from John D. Rockefeller. It goes, "I do not think that there is any other quality so essential to success of any kind as the quality of perseverance. It overcomes almost everything, even nature." Now, I think that speaks and sums up what we've been talking about today, because we need to keep this in mind when we are faced with writing a book or getting our online course up or doing any of the things that we've mentioned today. It can be very easy to get overwhelmed and give up. Think about that quote. Think about the things that Kylie has shared, and think about this question. What's the worst that can happen? If you do it, you will succeed. If you don't do it, well, you're never going to know, are you? So take that first step, persevere and step up. You've been listening to Trish Springsteen today with our show, Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. If you need to contact me, you've got a question you'd like to have answered or anything that you would like to discuss, send me an email at info@trishell.com.au or connect with me on Facebook, Trishell Innovative Communication Training. My website is trishspringsteen.com. You can contact me there if you'd like a strategy session or if you'd like to book me to come and speak at one of your events. Thanks very much, Kylie. Hope to contact you again soon. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You've been with Trish from Step Up and Speak Out. Have a great evening or a great day, and we'll speak with you again soon. Bye, everyone.
See ya.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Thanks, Kylie. I'll talk to you again soon later.
No problem. Bye. See you, Trish. Bye.
Bye.